Nazine spent 5 more nights with Peters, and when they were not otherwise engaged, they talked a great deal. Or more accurately, Peters talked, and the girl listened. On the 5th morning, when he came to fetch her, while it was still dark, the vizier promised Peters, "She will return to you again tonight," and led her away by the hand to a side gate of the palace, where an old man of the Tsar waited, kneeling patiently beside an equally ancient camel. The vizier swathed Nazine in a dark camel-hair shawl and lifted her onto the dilapidated saddle. The city gates opened with the sunrise, and there followed the usual exodus and influx of desert folk who had come in to sell their wares, or who were returning into the vast wilderness, pilgrims and petty officials, traders and travellers. Among those leaving were the 2 riders on the old camel. There was nothing about them to excite interest or envy. Nazine looked like the old man's grandchild. It was not easy to tell her gender under the shabby robe that covered her head and body. They rode away through the palm groves, and none of the guards at the gate bothered to watch them go. A little before noon the travellers spied a goatherd squatting on a crag of the barren hills. His herd of 12 motley beasts was spread out among the rocks below him, nibbling at the desiccated twigs of saltbush. The goatherd was playing a mournful little tune on his reed pipes. The old rider halted his camel and prodded its neck with his goad until it hissed, bellowed a protest, and knelt in the sand. Nazine slipped off its back and ran lightly up the rocky crag, throwing back the hood of her robe as she went towards the goatherd. She prostrated herself before him and kissed the hem of his robe. "Mighty Sheikh bin Shibam, father of all my tribe, may Allah sweeten every day of your life with the perfume of jasmine blossom." "Nazine, sit up, child. Even here in the wilderness there may be eyes watching us."
"My lord, I have much to relate," Nazine babbled. Her dark eyes sparkled with excitement. "Zain is sending no less than 15 war dows."
"Nazine, draw a deep breath, then speak slowly, but miss nothing. Not a word of what the Ferengi Peters has told you." As she prattled away, Bin Shibam's face darkened with concern. Little Nazine had an extraordinary memory, and she had been able to milk the most minute details from Peters. Now she effortlessly recited the numbers of men and the names of the dhow captains whose ships would carry them southwards. She gave him the exact date and state of the tide on which the fleet would sail, and the date on which they expected to arrive at Nativity Bay. When she finished, the sun was halfway down the sky. However, Bin Shibam had one last question for her. "Tell me, Nazine, has Zain al-Din announced who is to command the expedition? Is it to be Kadem ibn Abu Bakr or the Ferengi Kurds?"
"Great Sheikh, Kadem ibn Abu Bakr is to command the ships, and the Ferengi Kurds the warriors who go ashore. But Zain al-Din in person will sail with the fleet and take the supreme command."
"Are you sure, child?" he demanded. It seemed too great a stroke of good fortune.
"I am certain. He told his war council, and these are the exact words that Peters repeated to me. My throne will never be secure as long as Al-Salil still lives. I want to be there at the day of his death, and to wash my hands in his heart blood. Only then will I believe that he is dead."
"As your mother has said to me, Nazine, you are worth 12 warriors in the battle against the tyrant." Nazine hung her head shyly.
"How is my mother, great Sheikh?"
"She is well cared for, as I promised. She asked me to tell you how much she loves you and how proud she is of what you are doing." Nazine's dark eyes glowed with pleasure.
"Tell my mother that I pray for her every day."
Nazine's mother was blind. The flies had laid their eggs under her eyelids and the maggots had burrowed into her eyeballs. Without Nazine she would long ago have been abandoned, for the desert life is pitiless. Now, however, she lived under the personal protection of Sheikh Bin Shibam. Bin Shibam watched the girl go back down the hill and mount behind the camel rider. They set off again in the direction of the city. He felt no guilt or remorse for what he had required Nazine to do. When it was over, when Al-Salil sat once more upon the elephant throne, he would find her a good husband, if that was what she wanted.
Bin Shibam smiled and shook his head. He sensed that she was one of those born with a natural talent and an appetite for her vocation. Deep down, he knew that she would never give up the excitement of the city for the austere, aesthetic life of the tribe. She was not a woman who would place herself willingly under the domination of a husband. That little one could take care of 100 men. Perhaps I could do better for her simply by taking care of her blind mother and leaving her to work out her own destiny. Go in peace, little Nazin, and be happy, he whispered after the distant shape of the camel as it disappeared in the purple haze of fading day. Then he whistled, and after a while the true goatherd came out of his hiding place among the rocks. He knelt before Bin Shibam and kissed his sandaled feet. Bin Shibam shrugged off the faded robe and handed it back to him. "You heard nothing, you saw nothing," he said. "I am deaf, blind, and dumb," the goatherd agreed. Bin Shibam gave him a coin, and the man wept with gratitude. Bin Shibam crossed the ridge and went down to where he had left his own camel knee-haltered. He mounted, turned her head southwards, rode through the night and the following day without pause. He ate a handful of dates and drank thick curds of camel's milk from the skin bladder that hung behind his saddle. He even prayed on the march. In the evening he smelt the sea salt. Still without check, he rode on through the night. In the dawn the ocean lay spread before him like an infinite shield of silver. From the hills he saw the fast felucca anchored just off the beach. The captain, Tazus, was a man who had proven himself many times over. He sent a small boat to the beach to fetch Bin Shibam aboard. Bin Shibam had brought with him writing materials. He sat cross-legged on the deck with a scroll before him and wrote down all that Nazin had been able to tell him. He ended with the words, "Majesty, may God grant you victory and glory. I shall wait with all the tribes to welcome you when you return to us." By the time he had finished, the day was far spent. He gave the scroll to Tazus. "Surrender this only into the hands of Caliph al-Salil. Give your own life rather than the scroll to another," he ordered. Tazus could neither read nor write, so the report was safe with him. He already had detailed sailing directions for Nativity Bay. Like many illiterate people, he had an infallible memory. He would not forget a single detail. "Go with God, and may he fill your sail with his sacred breath," Bin Shibam dismissed him. "Stay with God, and may angels spread their wings over you, great sheikh," Tezuz replied. It was 103 days later that Tezuz picked out the towering, whale-backed bluff that his sailing orders had described, and as he steered into the lagoon, he recognized the three tall ships that he had last seen anchored in Muscat Harbor.